on praising. I'm going to keep on pressing. I'm going to keep on praying. Amen. I'm going to keep on doing what I know to do, because if I'm the only one, at least he recognizes it. At least God will protect me. At least God will keep me. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You got to understand when you're the only one, it's a special thing. I'm the only brother. I know I'm special now. I know my other brothers were greater than me, but I know I feel special now. Amen? Amen. We got to know that being the only one, Jesus is the only one. I'm trying to go somewhere. You can have any other religion. You can be Buddhist. You can be Muslim. You can be Gnostic, whatever. But Jesus is the only one that brings your salvation. He's the only one. Something special about it. That's why no other religion is attacked except Christianity the way that it's attacked, because it's the only religion where we got one person that gives us salvation. Oh, yeah, everybody else, you got to work your way to it. You got to do exercises to get to it. We got Jesus, and all we got to do is believe that he came, bled, hung, died, but resurrected, and we can have this salvation. We're the only one, only religion. That all you got to do is believe. I don't have to kill nobody. I don't have to do no exercises. But I exercise in worship. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Verse 9 said, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them until it came and stood over where the young child was. Look at that. They had divine guidance. After the deception, after the enemy tries to deceive you, tries to get you off track, you need to know that there is always divine guidance that comes. God wants to lead you. He said, they that are led of the Spirit of God shall be called the what? Sons of God. And so when your heart is right, when you worship God, you will get divine guidance. When your heart is right in worship, we can't come worship falsely. We can't come worship God and think that if I worship him today, that he'll give me the job I want. He'll give me the blessing I want. He'll give me the house, the car, the husband, the wife I want. We can't believe that when we come in here, and that's the only reason why we come to worship. We must come to worship him because of who he is, not because of what he can give to us. You know, some people, they only do right for a few minutes because they're afraid something might happen. Are they glad that what could have happened didn't happen? Now I better go to church. Oh, come on and say amen. But we need divine guidance in our life. And when our heart is right in worship, God will always guide you.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
We come from this far, back.
God says in his word, Romans 13:7, that we as Christians must give honor to whom honor is due. In January 2014, we, the ministry staff and co-laborers in the gospel, will honor our man of God, Dr. John Montgomery.
You recognize that if you're going to deal, dwell, or be anywhere God is, you're going to be required to change your life.
In recognition of his 25th year of pastoral service, ministry, and leadership at our church, community, his city, state, and nation, Dr. Montgomery's silver anniversary will be celebrated the entire month of January. This month-long celebration will culminate on Monday, January 24th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Greater King David Baptist Church Multicultural and Educational Center, 222 Blount Road, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Dr. Montgomery has truly been a blessing to so many near and far. Join us in exhibiting grand love and support for our great and deserving leader. Your words of kindness, fellowship, and gifts of love will be appreciated. No gift is too small, and certainly no gift is too large. We pray multitudinous returns on your gift. Please send all gifts to Dr. John Montgomery, care of Reverend Daniel Smith, 911 Lodell Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Make all checks payable to Dr. John Montgomery. For additional information on exciting events for Dr. Montgomery, phone 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577.
We come from this far, back. Lean on the Lord.
How many of you know he's a mighty God? I said, how many of you know he's a mighty God? Oh, come on, come on. Act like you know he's a mighty God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, give the Lord a hand of praise. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh now as we focus our attention on your word. Do in the text as you desire to do. Meet us. Teach us. Give to us your word in revelation form. Help us to know the principles and then practice them with your power, giving you all the praise as you perfect our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. 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 Turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, number 27. And I just want to lift out verse 13. Psalms number 27. Verse 13 says, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in God's presence. For just a little while, I won't speak from the subject. If the Lord doesn't come when you want him, wait on him. If the Lord doesn't come when you want him, wait on him. I think David gives us a wonderful lesson in waiting on the Lord and understanding the power, the prestige of our God showing up in a timely way, and taking the privilege of delaying his presence when he feels it will best benefit us. There are some times God does not show up when we think
he ought to show up in order to develop us and to bring us to another level of faith and to strengthen us in our test. It's important to realize and to recognize, as David says in this 13th verse, I had fainted. Unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. As I meditated upon that, I said, David, that seems almost contradictory when folk hear how you started off. And you started off, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemy, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. And now in the 13th verse, you say, I had fainted? Well, when we begin to understand David's situation, I backed up to the 11th verse, and in the 11th verse, he entreated God to educate him in his ways. He begged God, God, teach me your way. Show me your way. Help me understand your way. And I think, my brothers and sisters, it does us well to hear what David says, because one of the things that we're going to understand in life is this, that if we're ever going to be or become what God truly wants us to be or become, it's going to have to be done God's way. In other words, it's going to have to be his will, not our will. We're going to have to understand that God is in control of every situation, regardless of how it seems. He says that in verse 11, but in verse 12, he talks about escaping his enemies. In verse 13 here, he's talking about his experiences and enlightenments. But in verse 14, he's talking about an emphatic encouragement. And I want us to look at this, my brothers and sisters, because we again go back to verse 13 when he says, I had fainted. This is a personal interpretation. Personal interpretation. Look at what he says. I had fainted unless I had believed. Now, one of the things that I want you to understand in his personal interpretation are three things. It is his past, his plight, and his power that brought him to the conclusion that he was on the brinks of fainting, on the brinks of failing, on the brinks of giving up. This word seems strange because he says, I had fainted, but it doesn't really mean I had fainted. What it literally means is I almost fainted. I was close to fainting. The American Standard Version says, where would I be unless I had believed? And so his interpretation was, I came so close in the situation that I dealt with from my past and the present plight that I'm in, that my own power got so weak that I almost gave up. Now, I know that don't happen to some of you strong saints who shout on Sundays and you live victorious all through the weekend. No matter what the devil throws your way, you don't have no problem. But David discovered that even though the Lord is your light and your salvation, if you just keep on living, you're gonna meet up with some stuff
that's going to bring you to the point of fainting. I wish I had a helper in the house today. You're going to go through some things that you didn't think would bring you to this point of testing. You're going to come up against some enemies that's going to take all your nerves. There are going to be some things that happen to you where you don't know where you would be if God wouldn't have stepped in right on time. So he says, my past, my plight, and my power had gotten so messed up that I had fainted. I almost fainted. But I want to move on into the verse because he says something else that's important for us. I want us to look at the profound, listen at this, insight that David gives us. He had his personal interpretation, but he has a profound insight that he gives us. First of all, he says, unless, which is a transitional word. Unless I had, here's his word again, past tense. But this time, it is not with a negative force, but rather a positive one. He says, I had believed. Now this profound insight is helpful in three ways because it tells us, first of all, that when you're going through some stuff, every now and then you're going to have to, one, refocus. You see, sometimes your trials, your tribulations can so affect you that you don't see nothing but what you're going through. You can't see beyond, above, around, nor through your troubles, and so you become consumed by them. But when you get to that point, you need to recognize it's time to refocus. And this word, unless, in this transition was also a reality in the spirit, because he said, unless I had believed. He didn't say unless we had believed. Because I got to tell you, sometimes the stuff you go through going to be just you. Not the folk around you, not the folk with you, but you. And so he speaks of himself and he speaks for himself and he deals with this profound insight because what he tells us is, if I had not refocused, I could have been consumed by my trouble. If I had not refocused, I could have been consumed by my troubles. If I had not refocused, I could have been done away with the problems that I was experiencing. But I took my eye off of what was and put my eye on what was coming. See, can I tell somebody, you got to sometime put your mind in a place where it goes beyond your problems. Sometimes you've got to refocus back on what God promised you. You've got to refocus on the fact that this too shall pass. Sometimes you've got to refocus while you're going through what you're going through on the fact that what is ahead of you is better than what is behind you. Sometimes you've got to refocus while you're still going through your tests that the best is still yet to come. He had to refocus not on the footprints of his pain, but on the footprints of his gain. Because sometime in your struggle, you forget to see while you're in so much pain, yet how much ground you have gained. See, sometime you're closer to being through than you think. It's closer to being over than you know. But if the devil can keep you having a pity party, keep you looking back, looking down, feeling sorry for yourself, if you never refocus,
then you'll miss God in your test. Not only must he refocus was this great insight, but something else he had to do. He had to reconnect. Because how many of you know your troubles and trials and tribulations sometimes can disconnect you from what God has truly placed in you? See, sometimes you've got to stir up the gift. The gift is still there, but it feels like it's not there. Sometimes you've got to understand that what he gave you has not departed from you, but sometimes you've got to refocus and reconnect by faith. Here's what he said. Unless I had, here's faith now, believed, past tense, believed. This is where faith comes in at. I had believed. I like the way David says this, because what he's literally saying is, I've settled this matter. It's non-negotiable, non-discussable, non-debatable. I have settled this. I have already believed. I'm not believing God for this. I believe to him. I'm not hoping he's going to do it. I know he's going to do it. It's just a matter of time before he works this thing out. I had believed. And see, can I tell you sometime, my brothers and sisters, when you refocus, you've got to surely reconnect so that you can have that kind of determination in your heart. And when you reconnect, then can you have a true resolve? Listen at this. The third thing that he resolved after he reconnected and refocused was that he was going to see the goodness of the Lord. The goodness of the Lord. I like this because his resolve is, listen, I'm going through all this hell. I'm about to see some heaven. I'm going through all of this trouble. Nah, I'm going to see what God promised me. What God said is going to happen is going to happen, and I ain't going nowhere till it happens. I had believed to see the goodness. I've seen enough badness. The goodness. I've seen enough troubles. The goodness. I've seen enough darkness. The goodness. I've seen enough burdens. The goodness. And see, that's what you got to do sometime. You just got to focus on the goodness that the Lord promised you. I don't care how dark it is, how problematic it is. You got to focus on the goodness. Or the goodness will help bring you out. The goodness will help put a smile on your face right in the midst of you brushing the tears away. The goodness will give you hope and strength. The goodness, just put your eye on the goodness that God promised you. When do you do it, David? Right when you're having pain. Right when you're under the strain. Right while you're still being tested. He said, unless I had believed, I settled this matter. My heart was fixed. My mind was made up. I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord. Now, I'm about to come to a close here, but look at what he says. Because here comes a prophetic inspiration. He says, in the land of the living. Now, I had to throw that in there because it's in the Bible. And see, a whole lot of us are going to see some good, but we're waiting till the sweet by and by. We're talking about when we get to heaven. And heaven and all of its immortal glory, that's all good too. But David said, I don't want to be confused about the matter. I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord right here. Tell somebody right here. I'm looking for the goodness of the Lord right here. You excuse me, you can go on if you must, but I'm waiting to see the goodness of the Lord in. This word in, listen, is relative. Because first thing he's talking about is in the land. That's the place. And what's important about that is understanding in the same place I've had troubles is the same place I'm gonna triumph. The same place I've been a victim is the same place I'm gonna be a victor. The same place in this land that's been dark with storms, I'm gonna see the sunshine again. In the land, I wish I had a helper here. That's the place. But he also makes clear in this prophetic word, it's also the period. It's also the timing. It's also the season. In other words, I'm not gonna throw in the towel. I'm not gonna wave the flag of surrender. I'm not gonna say I give up. I'm not gonna say I quit. Because right here, while I'm going through, God promised me I'm going to. And so I'm holding on till my breakthrough gets here in the land of the living. And not only is this the place and this is the period, but he says, I want to let you know I'm the person. Y'all don't hear me. He's shouting about this because he's talking about what he's going to experience in the land of the living. It's like, don't weep for me. Don't feel sorry for me. Don't hang your head down. For me, I know it's dark now, but it's not going to end like this for me. I know it's tough now, but it's not going to end like this. For me, I know it's rough now, but it's not going to end like this for me. And all I want to do is encourage somebody else and tell them, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. When you feel like giving up, when you feel like giving in, when you feel like saying, oh Lord, I can't go another further, I just want to tell you one more time, wait on the Lord. Won't you touch two or three people right quick and tell them, wait, your blessing is on the way. Wait, wait, he may not come. When you think he will,
doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. Wait on the Lord. and be of good courage. Give the Lord a hand.